You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Today marks an important milestone for the University of West Florida and Argonaut Athletics. Earlier today, our Board of Trustees voted unanimously to approve the University of West Florida Athletics joining the Atlantic Sun Conference and the United Athletic Conference, transitioning the University of West Florida to NCAA Division I for the fall of 2026.
It's still kind of like, what? So soon? I know this is something that UWF folks and advocates have been asking for a long time, and it's always been the question. I actually thought it was kind of funny yesterday during the announcement in the press conference. Dave Scott, the athletic director, he said, I've been here for all of these, like, campus tours, and every time people come into my office and they just say this is happening, he's like, no, it's not. Not yet.
You know, for years I've sat in my office and listened to campus tours where the students would say, and we're moving Division I. And I'd sort of sit there and chuckle because, you know, I'm inside saying, well, we're not really looking at that right now. It's always been on the radar. I think eventually we always knew we would land in this space, right? And it really makes sense at this time to be in this space. And we're really looking forward to the future of competing with institutions that look like us.
Yeah, and that's kind of the idea, is finding the right fit. And it is kind of funny that people would actually say, no, it's happening, when, yeah, well, I mean, it's not happening yet, but it finally is happening. And, I mean, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago if, UWF is going to go to Division I, I'd have been like, well, I mean, you know, maybe, eventually. It's a big shift. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of logistics involved. What would it mean for all of the other sports is one of the big questions, obviously. That's one of the things that we're, you know, looking at. And joining us now, we have Dr. Judy Bentz. She is, of course, the former, I think she's officially emeritus, but, you know, former president at UWF. And she joins us now, also with a book out. We might get a chance to talk about that. Hey, Dr. Bentz, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Great to hear your voice and your chuckle.
Well, hi, Andrew. It's good to talk to you, too. It's been a little while.
It has been. When you made the announcement more than a decade ago and you held up that football helmet, mm-hmm. and you said, we're bringing football to Pensacola, I know there was a part of you that maybe dared to dream this day would finally come to pass, but be for real, what was it like yesterday and thinking about that difference?
It was a big step. And, you know, I did go back to that 2012 when I raised the football helmet. And it kind of seemed surreal yesterday. On the other hand, it seemed like it's about time because we're ready.
No kidding.
I was excited. Yeah.
No, it's fantastic news. Now, you are obviously not the president anymore, but you are involved in a lot of things. You're still teaching, right, at UWF in archaeology?
No, I'm not teaching anymore.
Oh, okay.
I've hung up the chalk, and what I'm doing is a lot of archaeological things.
Okay.
I've been researching and publishing, and this new book just came out.
Right, which I want to make sure we don't pass by without talking about that. So let's just do, like, you know, a moment about the book, because this is not the reason we had you on, but I saw the news came out, you know, in the last couple of days. You've got a new book on it for the 250th anniversary, 250 years of Florida as a Spanish colony. What is the book? What should we look for in it?
The book is called Early Spanish Florida. It's written for the general public. It's got lots of pictures, kind of like a National Geographic article.
Okay.
And it goes from 1513 to 1763, the first 250 years of Florida's experience as a Spanish colony.
Love it. I love it. And, I mean, you're always so good at communicating and explaining things. I can't wait to see it. Fantastic. Back to football because this, yeah, and I, you know what? Honestly, I was super excited to hear yesterday when President Diaz mentioned that you were involved now on the fundraising side in getting us really across the finish line and continuing to generate fundraising for the football program and for athletics in general. What is your role going to be here?
Well, Gordon Sprague and I are heading up the fundraising for Division I, and we're co-chair of the fundraising committee.
So we got a $2 million price tag up front. I know Manny Diaz, he didn't give a number yet. He said, we're working on it. We're pretty close. That's due by what, June 1st? Is that right?
Right, June 1st. Mm-hmm. So it's a quick deadline.
Yeah, no, that's fast. So do you know how close we are to having that money in hand?
I think we've got about 750 to 800,000. We're almost halfway there.
Okay. And we've got, you know, a couple of months still. So I know you're an optimist.
We do.
And you wouldn't have announced it if you didn't think you could get there, right?
That's a fact. I think we can do it. And, we, you know, we have backup plans, but, yes, we need to raise it. But the most exciting thing about all this is we're going to play Division One this fall. This fall.
That's
amazing.
We're
playing Division One. That's amazing. You usually have to wait a year. But where everybody changed their schedules, the Atlantic Sun and the United Athletic League are just they really want us bad in their league, and they are giving us the chance to play Division One in August of this year.
I still honestly can't believe it. Everything changed so quickly. We're talking to Judy Bentz, former president of UWF. Hang on for just a second, Dr. Bentz. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
No problems or delays to report. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Dr. Judy Bentz, of course, one of the key architects for the football program at UWF, former president of UWF, writer, archaeologist, and all the things, and now one of the co-chairs for the fundraising campaign on this move to D1. Mm-hmm. I have questions that were not exactly answered yesterday, but I think – like, if you had asked me a month ago if I understood the difference between Division II and Division I would have said, oh, sure, yeah, obviously. And then the more I started thinking about it, I realized I'm not really sure I understand the difference exactly. So what does this really mean, both for football and for the other sports, in terms of money, TV, scholarships, game competition? Like, what is the real difference between D1 and D2?
Everything you mentioned is different. The number of scholarships is different. It's more. The level of competition is different. It's higher. The cost of doing sports, adding the coaches that you have to, is more. The facilities, our facilities are good. The stadium is a huge plus. We've got to upgrade other facilities like baseball, softball, dugouts, and the complex over there. But basically, Andrew, it's more. It's not tremendously more because we're going in at the lower level of Division One, where we should be. And we have 3 years to get all of these things done before we're into Division One play where we are eligible for championships. They give you some time to get ready, but they see where we are now, and they think we're good enough. All of this is good enough to play D1 now and take the next 3 years to really dot the I's, cross the T's, and get everything in order.
How do you think, because I know you've thought about this question, I mean yourself, I'm sure, for years and years and years and years and years, and I've been asked this question 1,000 times. How will this affect student life outside of athletics?
Well, I think it's going to improve student life outside of athletics. First of all, we're going to be playing schools that everybody knows. A lot of our students coming out of high school, they look at a university and they see what level of sports they're playing. They know what Division One. I swear, everybody in the country knows what Division One is. It's good. It's fun. It's big. It's pageantry. And if you don't have, if you only have Division Two, they go, oh, I don't want Division Two. I want to go where they play Division One. It makes a difference. And it adds to, it's really what you need to get to the next level of university's growth and development. And we're no longer knocking on the door, we're in the door.
You know, one of the things Manny Diaz has expressed very clearly is he wants to grow the prestige, the power, the, you know, desirability, mm-hmm. the attractiveness, mm-hmm. Grants, he wants to grow the university. And he's kind of said he doesn't really want to grow the size of the university so much because he recognizes that university's small size, its high acceptance rate, its place in the community are kind of unique. in my mind, I kind of feel like you can't have both. If we're going to start to be like an FSU or like a, you know, even a UCF, or if we're going to be like a, you know, a Florida, we're not going to stay at 16,000 people. It's going to be 25, 30, 35,000 people. That seems inevitable to me, but that means a very different reality, right?
Well, I agree. It is different, but I think the key to making all that work is slow growth. For the last 10 years, we've grown by 3, 4% every year. President Saunders continued that growth in the post-COVID recovery, and many schools have not been able to do that. So if you don't just have a spike in growth, if you have steady, good growth, you can adjust to that growth like we have over the last 10 years. So that kind of growth is healthy. Now, if you want to stop it, you can. You can raise your standards. You could just limit how many students you take. The big schools, like, let's say, Florida State, they can't take any more than, 6,000 freshmen a year. They just don't have the room. And so if you expand slowly with it, you retain that. Now, down the road 10 years from now, we may need to cap enrollment. And that's not too big of a deal. You don't cap it forever. But I think what we have to do is kind of watch it. And the leaders, the administrators in the future need to, you know, strike that balance, Andrew. Which way do we want to get that big or we don't? That is a decision they'll have to make. But going to Division I will definitely keep us on the track of enrollment growth.
And I think that was one of the – I know that was one of the questions that I had, not so much with this announcement, because this is more of a fulfillment of the kind of the vision that Manny Diaz has put out, but – the idea that,
right.
I have two students, I have two kids who went to UWF. One's there now, one's graduated, and another one might go. He's a nurse, so he might go to stay at PSC. But the point is, you know, the assumption by the locals is if you've got a kid who's going to go to college, they can go to UWF if they want to. It's not particularly exclusive. But if we grow it and if it grows fast, it's going to eventually get to the place where, as you say, enrollment has to be capped and it becomes a little bit more exclusive, maybe very exclusive. And that would be, in some ways, a loss and in some ways, a gain, right?
Right, that's right. And that's a decision that administrators make all the time. And we have long-term plans. We have strategic plans. We have master plans for growth of our buildings and facilities. All of that is taken in consideration. And we always talk about how big do we want to be. I think, personally, probably 20,000. That's a nice cap for this school. We can retain the small school personal touch that we have.
Yeah.
But you don't know. But that's my guess. When I said that in 2010, people thought I had lost my mind. 20,000, you're crazy, Ben. You're crazy. And,
well,
this nice growth, I mean, you see the parking lots are full. There's a lot of more student life than before. So we're looking for that sweet spot, and they'll find it. You know, that's their job, too. And, you know, people like me give them my opinion all the time. But they're in charge,
Well, as you build it, they will come, right? That's kind of the idea.
Well,
you know,
that's kind of true. I mean, the stadium?
Yeah.
Who would think? It's going to be gorgeous. Just gorgeous. And multi-purpose, lots of different sources of revenue right in the middle of campus. I mean, Andrew, it's going to make a big difference. I think that alone will increase our enrollment. But we have to watch it. We don't want to grow too fast.
You know, one of the things, a lot of attention has been paid to football, obviously. I've asked you about student life outside of athletics. But I do think, to some degree, we've overlooked the other big element of this is a massive change of life and status and practice for all of the non-football sports because they're all going to be part of the ASUN conference, and that is a big shift for them. And we've talked a little bit about recruiting and about prestige, but for the non-football sports, talk about some of the impacts there. I know you already mentioned scholarships go up and so forth, and the improvement in facilities, which will be a cost but also a benefit. Talk about some of the other sports impacts.
Well, I've talked to the other coaches of softball and volleyball and soccer and golf, and they are ready. They are excited to be going into Division I. We have been so successful in Division II that I don't want to say it's ho-hum, but I'm going to say that every coach and every team wants to play at a higher level, and they want the competition. I mean, to a person, they are ready. They're excited. They can recruit better athletes. They've got more to offer them. And a lot of our recruits go to a Division I school only because we're Division II, they would be here. So they are looking forward to playing at the next level.
And
they're really excited.
That's good. And, I mean, I know it's going to be more work, but it's more money and it's more challenge and responsibility. I mean, it's all the things, like you say, you know, winners want to win at a higher level when they're able to. And one of the things that I think is a little overlooked in all this is, as Dave Scott mentioned yesterday, in the ASUN, we'll be the third largest school. We are a very big school. We're not like some barely Division I eligible. I mean, you know, Lipscomb and Jacksonville both have around 5,000 people. At 16,000, we're no small player in this market, right?
That's right, and the Division I schools conferences have been trying to get us to join them, but four of them have been after us, and with the ASUN gave us everything we wanted and more. So we and to readjust their schedules of 16 schools to fit us in, like right now, is just amazing. So I mean, this we're ready for Division I, and honestly, I think we'll do plenty of winning.
You know, Ed, I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with me this morning. Dr. Judy Bentz, I'm very optimistic, and you're right. The level of accommodation on the kind of the fly like this to let us in so quickly and change their schedules to meet our needs and fit us in is quite a testament
That's
to
right.
the value we bring to them, as opposed to what I think a lot of people are focused on is the value that they bring to us, and it's definitely a reciprocal benefit. Judy Bentz, former president for UWF and an archaeologist, and now another, again, she's authored a book called Early Spanish Florida, which is a completely different thing, but awesome, given the anniversary that we're at right now. Dr. Bentz, thank you for all the work you've done over the years. Thank you for continuing to be devoted to UWF, and as always, thank you for coming on the show this morning. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. And go Argos, your favorite thing to say.
Go Argos. That's right.
Yes, ma'am. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Things are looking good on this Good Friday. No problems or delays to report. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you have a company with employees, you got to deal with benefits, you got to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that stuff that is not probably your favorite thing in the world to do because you didn't get into business to do that. You got into business to do something else, but then you had to do this because you have employees. Well, that's why you call Torgerson Consulting. They literally got in business to do this because they like doing it. You know, you don't like it, they do it just like there are things you do that other people pay you to do. The same kind of concept. And they're really good at it. We've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 5 years since 2021. And they bring us choices every year that we did not have before. They bring us, you know, plans that we didn't have access to before. And also the customer service. I'll just be honest. It's first rate. They always answer our questions. They always get back to us right away or pick up right away when we call them. They've just been, my wife and I just, and she's an industrial engineer, so she's very picky about this kind of stuff, you know, asking questions and details and all that. And she loves them. Two thumbs up. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting. Call them for a no-obligation review of what you're doing today or stop by tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Easter, or better stated, Resurrection Sunday, is a recognition of perhaps the most important miracle in the entire Bible. It is the miracle of victory over death and therefore the offer of eternal life. Remember that Easter is more than just colorful eggs, chocolate bunny rabbits, and pretty baskets. All of those things are okay and have their place, but let's be sure that we consider the primary message of this important Christian holiday. The message of Easter is that sin brings death, but Jesus brings life. Ladies and gentlemen, he's alive and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, trust him today. This Easter, rejoice in the risen Savior.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed, those keys to your new car could practically be in your hand. PenAir Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at penair.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, it's the Calverts, one of the Gulf Coast's hottest and newest bands, bringing classic rock, rhythm and blues, and high-energy hits from the 60s to today. Their motto, if you can't dance to it, they don't play. See you for the first Bands on the Beach.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a redneck by its toe. If the haulers let him go.
Good morning, 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Ryan Jenkins is up next with our farm update. David Wayne might have a quick headline for us before we go to Fox News.
Sure. Amazon is adding a 3.5% surcharge for third-party sellers, and they're doing this, of course, Andrew, because of rising fuel prices. That goes into effect April 17th.
All right. Thanks for the update. We'll be back in a minute with Ryan Jenkins.
Fox News, I'm CJ. Papa, airstrikes take out a bridge in Iran, considered the tallest in the Middle East. President Trump and Truth Social threatening to destroy electric power plants, but Iran is vowing to strike bridges in Israel. What about the key shipping lane?
The commercially critical Strait of Hormuz remains closed today, largely. Around 5 tankers a day transiting that. Compare that to 100 on average that used it before this war began.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt in Tel Aviv. Gas a penny overnight, landing at $4.09 a gallon. For radio, that from AAA. Diesel checking in at $5.53 a gallon. That's up 3 cents. And Iran damages a desalinization plant and sets a refinery ablaze in Kuwait. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 67 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies this morning. We're going to get a look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. This update just in from the Florida Highway Patrol. A Pensacola man with an outstanding warrant now facing felony charges after fleeing a traffic stop and crashing into a fence early on Thursday morning. FHP says a trooper spotted a vehicle with a mismatched registration tag on North Blue Angel Parkway. That happened about 12:55 Thursday morning. When the trooper attempted to stop that vehicle, they say the driver fled and then crashed at Patricia Drive and Oak Cliff Road. The driver was identified as 46-year-old Marvin Thomas. He was not hurt. He was charged with felony fleeing and driving with a suspended license. Well, the shooting at NAS Pensacola back in 2019, which killed 3 sailors and injured 8 others, was cited by Secretary of War Pete Hegseth yesterday as one of the reasons he signed a new memo allowing service members to carry personal firearms on base. Hegseth framed the policy as a constitutional matter.
Outside our borders, some are domestic. Confirming your God-given right to self-protection is what I'm signing into action today. And I'm proud to do so.
Now, this new policy sets a presumption of approval for requests to carry. It applies only to uniformed service members in non-official duty capacity and does not allow personal carry inside the Pentagon building itself. Gun violence prevention groups are raising some concerns over this, pointing to Pentagon data showing firearm suicide as a common method of military suicide. A Mobile man has pleaded guilty to murdering his Air Force girlfriend at a Pensacola apartment complex in January of last year. Charles Carson Dowdy shot senior airman Star Tucker multiple times and ran her over twice with her own Jeep. This was after she tried to end their relationship. He now faces up to life in prison. He'll be sentenced August 25th. Tucker was a nurse. She was a member of the 919th Special Operations Medical Squadron, and she also left behind a young son. Now, the University of West Florida's move to Division I isn't just a sports story. It's an economic development story. According to a UWF Haas Center analysis, the athletics program is projected to generate $42 million in economic impact and support roughly 280 jobs across the region. This is once the Darrell Gooden Stadium is fully operational in 2027. Athletic Director Dave Scott told the crowd what to expect when that opens. Problem with my audio. Hold on here. All right, that's not going to work for us. UWF's athletics program has historically generated nearly $250 million in economic output over a five-year period at the Division II level. That transition is expected to amplify that figure significantly. And again, UWF announcing yesterday that they are moving to Division I for their athletics. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic is brought to you by Pensacola Little Theater. Get ready to laugh out loud with Junie B. Jones, the musical, from April 10th through the 12th. Tickets available at the PLT box office or PensacolaLittleTheater.com. I-10 and 110 both looking good. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smooth. Not showing any slowdowns in Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now, 67 with cloudy skies. Let's get a look at our forecast.
We are going to be looking at partly cloudy skies. High today near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies. High near 80 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Looking at some showers and thunderstorms on Sunday. 80% chance of rain, especially through the morning and afternoon. High near 76. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 52. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 7:35 here at News Radio. 68 degrees. We've got cloudy skies this morning. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Economists are predicting that the U.S. economy is projected to show job gains of 59,000 for the month, while the unemployment rate is anticipated to be 4.4%. Data drops in 10 minutes. President Trump has ordered a 100% tariff on brand-name pharmaceuticals produced overseas. Drug companies that commit to moving production to the U.S. will face a 20% tariff while they are transitioning, and no tariff if they also agree to lower drug prices. Reuters reports billionaire Elon Musk's SpaceX has had discussions with Saudi Arabia's public investment fund about PIF, potentially taking an anchor stake of around $5 billion in the space company's IPO. The company aims to raise a record-breaking $75 billion, which could outdo previous mega IPOs such as Saudi Aramco in 2019 and Alibaba in 2014. The stock market is closed in honor of Good Friday. It will reopen Monday. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 61. That's Your Money Now.
Make this Easter truly amazing. Be a part of a Pensacola tradition enjoyed by thousands, the Community Sunrise Service at Blue Wahoo Stadium. Worship the risen Savior as the sun rises over the bay and celebrate the glory of God in a fresh and powerful way. Easter Sunday at 6:15 a.m. at Blue Wahoo Stadium. For more info, visit PensacolaEaster.org.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer semester. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu to learn more.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids. Rolaids' dual-active formula has calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. Yeah, you heard right. Two actives for that powerful relief. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaid spells powerful relief. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need.
You actually need.
So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, it is our monthly update where we check in with our good friend and farmer, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, and find out what's going on the farm. Ryan, welcome back, sir. Happy Good Friday.
Good morning, y'all. How you doing? Happy Good Friday to you.
Doing great. Doing wonderful. We got a lot of stuff to get to with you. Let's start with some of the news, and then we'll get to what's going on for you on the farm. Obviously, farming has been a lot in the news lately. The governor just signed the farm bill. There's a lot of elements to it. I have not read it, so I'm counting on you to tell me what's in it, what matters, what's good, what's bad. What do you think?
It's good. The state farm bill, excuse me, the state farm bill is good. It's just more so to help protect the farmers. It's common sense stuff you wouldn't believe. Like there's a law in there that will allow us to always be able to use gasoline and diesel.
Oh, we're gonna have to check in with Ryan again real quick because we just lost him on the phone. But he'll call right back. Hey, listen, one of the things that we prove, if nothing else, whenever we talk to Ryan, is the cell phone coverage in the north end of Santa Rosa County is what do I want to call it? Terrible. So, hey, Ryan, you back, brother?
Yep, let's try it.
Yeah, I know.
That's the story of my life right there.
I was just going to say, this is a great, whenever you drop off because we're talking to you, it's like a reminder to people that the cell phone service in North Santa Rosa is not good, but that is a fact of life that farmers deal with all the time, and it interrupts you in a lot more significant way than just interrupting some guy on the radio talking with you. So it's a good reminder. Anyway, you were saying about the farm bill. First of all, it allows you to use gas and diesel-based engines instead of having to convert to electric, which is common sense.
Right. That's something I can't believe that we had to spend time and effort and all that to make a law to protect us from getting our gas and diesel engines taken away from us. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that bogs things down and makes it so hard for all of us, not just agriculture, just for all of us to do our jobs. It's like, I don't understand where some of this non-common sense stuff comes from anymore. But,
right.
But that's a perfect example. So there's a lot of stuff like that in there. There's a lot of conservation type stuff, protecting rural lands, you know, different things like that. So it's a good bill. It's kind of a different bill than the federal bill, you know, that comes from Washington. So it's a very good thing, and basically it just helps us be able to protect our livelihood.
Speaking
of the way I look at it,
No, good idea. That's good. I was just thinking about in conservation, since we're talking about that a little bit, Rhett Rowell and the county commission recently created. I want to praise this because it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It feels like it's a little bit more celebration than substance because the amount of funding increase that's going to go into this is sort of to be determined. But the push anyway is to try to conserve farmland in Santa Rosa County. But you're much closer to this than I am. I know they talk about talking to you all the time and getting input on it. You tell me what you think of the deal that they've made.
I think it's good. You know, we've talked on here many times. I truly want to protect farmland, our way of life, our ability to feed and clothe ourselves. And it's bigger than a Santa Rosa County issue, right? We're just talking about it in Santa Rosa County, but it's all across the country. I mean, we're already down to less than 2% of the country's population are farmers. So we can't get much lower and still be farming, which we've talked about before as a matter of national security.
Right.
But I also don't want to be, excuse me, the person that tells you what you can and can't do with your land. I don't want it to get to that. So I've said many times before, I just feel like we have to have a lot of options, a lot of tools in our toolbox, so that if somebody does want to protect their ag land, they can. I don't want anybody to be forced to do anything. I want it to be completely voluntary. I want it to be an option, but I want it to be a viable option. And conservation easements is one way to do that. So what Rhett and them have done is provide a way that farmers or people that own ag land, it don't have to be a row crop farmer like me, you know, it can be a pasture land or a forest land, but we can, they'll have a program where you can get paid some money to sell your, to put land in conservation forever. So now you still retain ownership. The landowner still retains ownership of the land. They've just given away their right to ever be able to develop it. So they've been paid some money so that that land will be in conservation for the rest, for eternity, basically, if that all makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just an option. Tool in the toolbox if you want to do that. And still, you can sell your land later or whatever, but it'll just have a conservation easement on the deed.
And so, you know, you have various, like, there's a handful of different tactics for doing this. There's outright sale of the land. That's not what you're talking about. There's transfer development rights, or as you say, conservation easements on there, restricting what you can actually put on the surface, because, as you've said so many times, once you plant houses, you never plant anything else. And this would essentially, you pay the farmer off for sacrificing the profit potential of getting the land sold and or developed into, you know, residences or businesses or whatever. But it's a way of protecting it and compensating people for the promise that it will always be protected, which it will always be protected. And I am certainly on board with that. That makes all the sense in the world to me, because we do have to think about this strategically and as a national defense priority as well. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, hang on for just a second. We got PJ with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks, Andrew. No problems or delays to report. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
All right, perfect. Back to Ryan Jenkins. Ryan, you may have heard we got involved in a war in the Middle East. It may have affected fuel prices. It just when you protected yourself from having to go electric, you turn right around and now fuel prices are way up. I assume this is yet another day of great blessing for the ease and profitability of being a farmer.
It is. But one more thing before we move on to that.
Oh, sure.
Andrew,
yeah, yeah.
I want to bring up about the deal that Rhett and the county commission are doing, and that I think is important for people to understand. And I don't have all the real numbers, but I can tell you how it works, and I want people to understand it because it's important. Let's just say that the county said, all right, we're going to fund this with $1 million. Well, that's not the end of it. That is the important part for people to see. If the county puts up $1 million, the state might put up another million or two, and then the federal government might put up $3 or $4 million. They match all those funds. So, a little bit of money on the local level in the end, it turns out to be a lot of money. And I think that's important. That's another important piece of the puzzle that people need to understand about what they passed.
Absolutely.
So it's voluntary, and a little bit of money turns into a lot of money.
At the end of the day,
we've conserved farmland.
So often we see this be the case that, you know, you can bring a lot more money to the table from outside sources if you put up a little of your own, you know, locally. So, no, leverage is a great tool in this toolbox. Fuel prices, how I know it's bad. How bad is it for you?
It's really bad. On February the 17th, we filled up our tanks there on the farm with off-road fuel for $3. It was $3 even. That's what we paid. Yesterday it was $5.29 a gallon. So that's 76% increase. And we've talked before, you know, economic times on the farm are as challenging as they have ever been. They're about as bad as they've ever been. And, you know, there's just really no room for hiccups like that. And it's a shame that, you know, really, they should never be able to raise the price of fuel enough to make it where it literally hurts you on your farm. Your farm should be able to sustain something like that. That's just showing you how rough things are right now, that just the increase in fuel prices could really make a big difference on your outcome at the end of the year on your farm.
Now, I know inputs...
You should be able to absorb that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know inputs are always a concern, and you have no control over them. And we've talked previously about what the tariffs are doing to them and so forth. But this one especially, what'd you say, 76%? And that, you know, for people who may be kind of new to this conversation, the farmer, you, cannot just turn around and, you know, when you finally do harvest your corn or your peanuts or your cotton or whatever, you can't just turn around and increase the price by so many dollars per bushel in order to get, or bale or pound, in order to get the compensation. In a normal business, look, if you're paying more for, you know, wood, then you're selling houses for a higher price. And if you're paying more for, you know, engine parts, then you're selling cars for a higher price. The farmer who's paying more for fuel is selling his cotton for the same price, right?
That's exactly, yes, or lower. whatever they tell you, they'll pay you for it. So, yeah, I mean, that fertilizer's gone up over 50%. And right now is the time of the year, you know, that we will use pretty much in our area in the southeast, we will use all the fertilizer we use from about March through June or July, and it'll be over with for this year. So, you know, it's not like we can wait till later when the prices go down to feed our crops. We have to do it now, and it just happens to be when the prices are the highest. So there's no way to mitigate that.
Is that tariff related? That's not war related. That's tariff related, right? The fuel is war related. The tariffs are the fertilizer's tariffs.
No, it's war related.
Oh, okay.
They've gone up that much since the war started.
Wow. So it's a big deal. So fertilizer, particularly, this is like twice in a year now. The government shutdown killed you guys on the loan program. That delayed a lot of your payments back that you then owed to the bank. Now on the other side, you know, we're involved in a war that may be over within a month or two. It may not be, but you're getting hit again with the kind of inconvenient timing. You know, that's happened. That's affecting you both on the price of diesel and also on the price of fertilizer. Wow. Okay. All right, well, happy days. anything else you want to tell us about?
No, I want people to know. I mean, it sounds bad, and it is bad, and I want people to know the truth. But, man, I'm still the most blessed guy you'll ever meet. I'm so lucky to get to do what I love, and somehow at the end of the day, God just always makes things work out somehow. It's just like right now, we're in a major drought. We're about... This year on my field, I keep up with it all electronically. Most of my fields in this area here have had about 6 inches of rain since the beginning of the year. Our 10-year average on those same fields is 14.8 inches.
Good Lord.
So we're about to start planting. We're starting with a major drought. You know, Pop always said, you never want to start the year with the ponds dry. If you look around all the wet weather ponds and things like that, all the ponds and the rivers are dried up.
Yeah.
It's not a good start. So, you know, we're all concerned about that. I hope everybody will pray for us and send us the rain that we need and the sun that we need, and that we just really need to have a good year.
What are you getting ready to plant right away?
We just finished up corn this week. So we're through with that. It's planted, and a lot of it has already come up. We've worked hard on it for about the last week or so, and we're pretty much shut down now waiting for rain. We can't get our plows into the ground because the ground's so hard. Mm. So, and there's not enough moisture to plant. So as soon as it starts raining, we get – and I don't mean like a quarter or a half-inch rain. You know, we're going to have enough rain to really get into the ground and make the moisture meet and get it where we can get back to work. But once that happens, within the next couple of weeks, we'll start on peanuts, and then just a few days after that, we'll start on cotton. So the year will be begun.
Well, and for people who, again, are kind of new to this conversation, it's a reminder that, you know, in Florida, we don't do irrigation because we have plenty of rain all the time, except for just not right now. And so it's not like you can turn the sprinklers on and loosen up the ground and plow because you've done that. You're literally waiting on God to open up the, you know, open up the heavens and make it happen. So we got fuel prices are up. That's bad. We got fertilizer prices are up. That's bad. The rain is way down. Based on my quick math, I'd say it's about a third to two fifths of what it normally should be. So that's bad. We're waiting on that to figure it out. But it is Good Friday. Easter's a coming, you know, and for Christians, God's on the throne, right?
That's right. So, amen. That's it.
You always like to end with a farm fact. Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, I was trying to tie it all together with what we grow and, you know the drill. But so, you know, when I was a kid, Easter eggs were real eggs. Mm-hmm. They came from chickens. Now they come from petroleum. Like, most of them are plastic that I see all the kids playing with. But anyway, I was trying to tie it all together. We were planting corn, chickens, eggs. But 12% of all the corn grown in America goes to chicken feed.
Huh.
So I'm trying to tie it all together. Two thirds of pretty much all chicken feed is nothing but corn. So
all right, there you go.
12% of our corn goes to feeding the chickens to make the Easter egg.
So you make the jeans my kids wear. You make the peanuts that go in the peanut butter and the candy bars that my kids eat, and I sometimes eat. And you also make the corn somewhat that the chickens eat that goes to make the Easter eggs, of your omelets and, of course, your chicken fingers and all of that kind of stuff. Okay. All right. See, we depend on the farmer in 1,000 different ways. Ryan Jenkins, he's the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. Ryan, I love that you exist. I love that you do what you do. I know your whole community enjoys hearing you on the radio, and I appreciate all of them as well, and you represent them, and it's important to be reminded of where all this stuff comes from. Thanks for feeding and clothing my kids, brother. We'll talk to you again next month.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. I hope everybody has a great Easter, and I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. 755 News Radio 92.3, PJ has traffic for us.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now, not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
If you're thinking about the next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality cars, but it's not the selection alone that makes them different. I mean, yes, going to one place where they have 300 good quality, almost new, you know, 1 to 4 years young, 10 to 40,000 miles kind of cars that they warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years, and no charge. That's just included because they're going to give you a good car. It's that they're all in one place and that they treat you right. They treat you in the way you want to be treated instead of a lot of times, you know, when you go to buy a car, a special used car, but true of new car places too. It's just, it makes you feel icky. It's bad. You leave feeling like, I don't want to go back there again. Frontier, it's the other way around. They understand that and they try not to be that. It's simple, straightforward, as easy as possible, and it makes you want to come back again and again and again. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Pensacola Habitat for Humanity introduces Hancock Meadows, an upcoming 33-home development with brand new, unique floor plans that include attached garages. These homes are part of several Habitat home purchase programs, serving a wider range of our community. What makes these homes special? First, the location is premium, and these beautiful new homes are made affordable, and the neighborhood includes a community park. Learn more about Hancock Meadows, as well as the many opportunities for home ownership at PensacolaHabitat.org.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks. Rent a kayak or a paddleboat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center. Or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit PlayPensacola.com or follow social media at PlayPColaParks. It's time to get out and play.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
All right, 7:59, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Transgressive Memorial Service, the late service, is coming up in about 20 minutes. Plus, the wrap should be very interesting. David Wayne is in the newsroom. Maybe he has a quick headline for us. David?
The Trump administration putting tariffs on pharmaceutical companies. The White House announcing it's levying a 100% tariff on name-brand medications and their active ingredients, with some exceptions for companies that have...
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It's a stronger-than-expected jobs report. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. The Labor Department says 178,000 new jobs were added in the U.S. last month, with the unemployment rate at 4.3%. That's down from 4.4% in February, when the economy is reported to have lost 133,000 jobs. Average hourly wages were up 0.2% from February, up 3.5% from last March. Iran State TV claims a U.S. fighter pilot has ejected from their aircraft over